Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So that's what happened with St. Petersburg, Florida. Bad decisions from a roadway rage accident when a Florida man got fed up with the glaring headlights of another driver. It was in Pinellas County. Nolan Goines, 46, was charged with battery. And according to the arrest report, it started over headlights. And so he threw pasta sauce from the passenger seat of his vehicle and struck the driver of the other car through his open window. And the pasta hit the victim in his arms, legs, and torso. He was uninjured. Why would you? This guy was booked. This was in St. Petersburg. It was about 9 p.m. on Thursday of last week. And he went to jail, was taken into custody. He posted $1,000 bond, so he's out. I mean, that's assault. And I would imagine, is there probably like an additional elevated thing because they were in a vehicle? I don't know. One Florida man, it's like 44 pounds. I don't care about this one. I want to do the Wawa rampage. Wawa. This woman, police said, was experiencing excited delirium. A Florida woman stabbed a man in a wild Wawa rampage, before threatening employees and smashing computers, say police. Christina Crane, 37, was charged with attempted felony murder, criminal mischief, and aggravated assault, and aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. Pinellas Park Police Department dealt with the situation. They think that she may have been under the influence at the time. And she was in a state of excited delirium when she entered the store. She told one office worker, "I will kill you." And she actually was going to try to stab a female office employee in the head. She was swinging a knife around. Oh my gosh, she crashed computer monitors. They said about $1,000 worth of property damage. What in the world? She's crazy. She looks crazy. Look at her face. Look at those eyes. Gents, let me explain something to you. And all my sisters out there, y'all agree with me. Listen to us ladies when we tell you crazy women have a look. They got a look. It's in the eyes. That woman's got crazy eyes. Look at her eyes. She's crazy. You see people with crazy eyes like this, I don't care if they're pretty. I don't care if they're fit. You run the other way because you will live in a living hell. Run the other way. I'm helping you. My brothers, I'm helping you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The biggest meth bust in Orlando history landed a guy, a Florida man, behind bars. He had 150 pounds of meth plus all kinds of prescription medication, thousands of pressed pills, cocaine, all kinds of stuff, like $1 million worth of stuff. So they seized, he had tons of fentanyl on him too. 35-year-old George, Bohaeus of Orlando, the DOJ said. So he's going to be in prison for a longy timey. The partners that we have for this portion of our show, you guys are very familiar with the Sub-2K, Kel-Tec Sub-2K. It's a 9mm carbine. You can fold it in half. Nothing's changed since the last time we talked about it. You can fold it in half. It's Gen 3. So you have previous generations of this that you had to detach the optics on. You do not have to do that with the Gen 3 of the Sub-2K. And it makes it easy to store. It makes it easy to deploy. It's just quick and easy. It's that simple twist and fold motion in either direction of that rotating fore end. It's patent pending. And so, again, you don't have to detach or reattach your favorite optics anymore. It takes Glock mags. Glock 19s fit flush. You can do Glock 17 stick mags as well with the extends passive grip. There's also an upgraded trigger redesigned for a lighter 5-pound pull, translating into improved accuracy. The operating handle, the action's been updated. Operating handle makes it all easy to rack. New internal buffer means softer recoil. It's a good carbine for everybody. I mean, it's fun to take out to the range, and it's easy to take out if you're going backpacking, whatever it is. Made in Florida, made in America, Kel-Tec, family owned and operated. To learn more about the new Sub-2K Gen 3, well, kind of new, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC Weapons.com and tell them that Dana sent you. But I want to start off the show, though. I do have a good thing. And this was a really uplifting story. And this took place, if you follow me on social media, you see this. It took place at UNC Chapel Hill. And, you know, they had protests at UNC Chapel Hill, riots, I should say. And they had a group of pro-Hamas rioters that took down this U.S. flag. And they put up in its place like a Hamas flag or Gazan flag or whatever. I mean, you vote for them and you love them, so it's kind of the same difference. And then the police arrived and they took that flag down and they put the American flag back up. And there was a photo that was captured by, I think, a fellow student named Parker Ali. And it showed a, I think this is the photo of the year. It showed a group of fraternity brothers at UNC. You know, the much described frat bros. When everyone talks of toxic masculinity, they always talk about frat bros. And I think frats get a bad rap, personally. And it showed this group of dudes, these fraternity brothers at UNC Chapel Hill. They saw what was happening. They saw, these guys saw the police trying to replace the Gaza flag with the American flag again and put it up. And the rioters ran forward and they were trying to tear the flag away and tear it to shreds. And this group of fraternity brothers, which I think is the photo of the year, they protected that American flag from these pro-Hamas rioters. And in the photo that Juan's going to show you in the simulcast for the radio program, they were holding it up so that it wouldn't touch the ground. It's not raining there, by the way. They're being pelted. They're being pelted with rocks, other debris, water bottles, all kinds of stuff, sticks. And they were screamed at by rioters. These fraternity brothers at UNC Chapel Hill stood there for an hour until the rioters lost interest and energy. And they protected that flag. They wouldn't allow it to touch the ground. And they would not allow the rioters to grab it, rip it from the flagpole, and tear it to shreds. And they endured a lot of, they endured assaults. They were assaulted. And I love this group of dudes. I love the guy's expression. One of the dudes in the front, who's got a blue shirt on, and he's standing in front of his brothers protecting them. And he's just smiling, and he's recording all of these angry rioters. This is the photo of the year. I think this is the photo of the year. All of these guys. One of the frat brothers is a student. He's a freshman in college. His name is Guillermo Estrada. He's a military kid. His family's military. He talked about how his family served and his family came to the United States. And they create, and he's in the picture. He's pictured in there. He's one of the, he's kind of under the flag, so it's a little hard to see him. But he's in there. And Guillermo Estrada, his family came to the United States. They became citizens. They served the country. They, you know, became Americans. They became, built the American dream. And he said it enraged him to see these rioters disrespect a symbol of what his family fought hard to attain. And I would imagine he's not the only one there with a story like that. So when you hear all of these stories of these moronic, and here's video of this, these moronic rioters, you need to remember this fraternity at UNC Chapel Hill. And there's video of them in the simulcast. They're holding the flag up. They would not allow Old Glory to touch the ground. And I love in the background the guy that's holding up the Israeli flag, you know, America's ally, just out there in the quad for support. And all these guys are holding up the flag. And then the abuse started. It is just a photo for the ages. So shines a good deed in a weary nation indeed. I love this so much. There was, I got to say, this is one of the reasons why I love the internet too. And they stood like that for an hour, by the way. So they're, it's Phi Kappa Phi. Pi Kappa Phi. That's the frat. And now the country seeks to repay the good deed by doing what Americans do best, throwing them a rager. So there's literally a give, send, go, I believe, that's out there to throw these good lads a rager. They deserve it at the end of a trying year with all the finals. And then at the, in the thick of it all, the most stressful point in college, these young men stood and faced a braying terrorist mob. God bless America. If I was the president of UNC Chapel Hill, each of these lads would be getting a scholarship. take it from the damn endowment, or you know what? Take it from the students who you kick out on their asses and give these lads a scholarship. Well done, boys. Well done, men. Yeah. That's a toxic masculinity for you. I love it so much.
And just to clarify, it's a GoFundMe.
I just put
the link in there, and I can actually tweet it out.
I mean, I do believe these gentlemen deserve a good way to end the year. I mean, it's the least a grateful nation can do, ladies and gentlemen. So there's some good stuff there. One of the things that I've noticed is I've seen this, and in some instances this is true, but this is not true in every instance. I have seen a huge effort to try to portray these writers as all being outside agitators, and they are not. They had, I was looking at this, one of the lists for arrests, like in Florida, they were all Florida students. The protest at Florida University, every single one of them but two people that were arrested were students there. I think that I want to be careful because I do think that there is this huge effort to portray everything as outside agitation, and it's not. Is it being funded by outside sources? Of course it is. But it's not outside agitators, and here's why I think it's dangerous to keep pushing that narrative. You're ignoring the problem that's been festering on college campuses for over 20 years now. These are protesters who watched their parents' generation and their grandparents' generation, like back in the 60s and 70s, do all of this stuff. The Chicago DNC, the Weathermen, all of this. And they're trying to like recapture the glory days of what they think protests were. And you know what? Protests now are as much as they ever were then. It's a bunch of sad sack loser commies who come together and try to create confusion and chaos, and they rain destruction. There's no difference. I mean, I think some of the fashion's still the same. There's no difference. Hillsdale is a small Christian classical liberal arts college located in southern Michigan. They were founded in 1844 for the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. That's hallmarks of their education. And they offer all kinds of free resources to people. But the cool thing is that you don't have to go to Hillsdale in order to take advantage of everything that they have to offer. They have all kinds of free resources, including their free speech digest called Imprimis. And they send that out to, I think, what, over 6 million households and businesses. And Imprimis, they do deep dives on all kinds of issues with leading conservative thought. For instance, the American Medical Association, they have a big spread in at this issue, where they explore how the AMA now says that medicine is so rife with white supremacy that they have to lower their standards on medical school entrance tests, which itself is actual inherent racism. And it's the lowered standard of expectation. It's horrible. And this is happening not just in medicine, but in law and other fields. And there obviously is a very detrimental, there's a consequence to this. And this is one of the things that Hillsdale explores in Imprimis. There's no cost or obligation. They produce and mail this as part of their educational mission on behalf of liberty. So sign up for your free subscription today at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, so now they're trying to tell us that cavemen dined on plants. And so you don't need to think about the caveman diet, because even though we have canine teeth and we actually crave the protein that's found in meat. Oh, no, hunter-gatherers actually ate like plants. Shut up. No, they didn't. I'm so done with this stuff. Quit trying. The more I hear this, the more meat I'm going to eat. That's just it. How much meat you want me? I'll just eat more, Cain. We'll just have more. Just to spite them. Done with it. Apparently, multi-state E. coli outbreaks over walnuts. The CDC is warning that an E. coli outbreak linked to organic walnuts sold in bulk has infected 12 people across California and Washington, those two states alone. They said, blah, 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 I don't care. Moving on. I really don't. American cancer in crisis. Apparently, depending on your age, you're most like in a bunch of other stuff, you might get the cancers. They're having the turbos. It's not the vax, though. It's not the vax. I mean, all this other stuff. You know, if you just magically get cancer, if you've had the shot, you just magically get cancer. It's not the vax, guys. But they're saying in males, like prostates, 29%, breast cancer in females, lung cancer. Lung is number two in both of them. 12% and 11% women and men, respectively. That's interesting. And at the bottom for men, it's pancreas. It's about 3% for both. So it's kind of, you know, if you want to look at that stuff. I look at stuff and I immediately think I have everything they're talking about. Quality of life in Los Angeles has reached a new low, lower than the previous new low. It was rated so poorly in a quality of life study that the only solution is, well, let's have some Kool-Aid, Jim Jones style. I'm joking. Not really. They said that the weather's hardly making up for it. UCLA has been polling Los Angeles residents when their campus isn't being torn apart by terrorists about their overall quality of life. And they've been doing this since 2016. And they said that the ratings have dipped to a new all-time low, with everyone citing housing and the rising cost of living as the biggest reason for their dissatisfaction. I mean, great, I have to step over human poop and needles, but the weather's so nice. I mean, it's true. A car landed vertically on an Ann Arbor street sign after a drunk driver hit a wire. No injuries. It's kind of amazing how this happened. It literally impaled itself, like the wheel well, on the sign, which like held it up. That's a strong sign. Like, who put that sign in? Who's the city worker who put that sign in?
They're building bridges.
Yeah, they need to be building the bridges. Zaps me. Police said a 24-year-old woman was driving the car with three other. Only a woman would be able to vertically land a car like that on a street sign. She struck a wire attached to a pole, and it caused the car to land on the sign. No one was injured. She did have a blood alcohol content of 0.17, so yeah, you can't be doing that. Gender-neutral lavatories have more germs than single-sex ones, and we all could have told you this. All of us. All of us could have told you this. So I want to switch gears here. We've been talking about the protest and we've been getting into some other stuff. We'll have some economic stuff coming up as well. But we got to talk about this issue with the DEI in one aspect of American culture that is considered the last frontier. The diversity, what is it? The dumb everybody idiots. That's what DEI stands for. It is. It's what it is. It's part of this Marxist CRT effort. And you've seen it in movies. You've seen it in music. It's been in Hollywood. You see it in academics. And a lot of people think that if there is a slice of American life in which they do not participate, then it doesn't affect them, which, as we've seen, that's an absolute lie, right? We've seen due process eroded by going through the doorway of firearm ownership. And I've always warned people, just because you don't own firearms does not mean, that's a variable, does not mean that this formula cannot be weaponized against you as well. If they can cite something with firearms, they'll cite something with any issue. And there's one particular bit of American life that I think that conservatives are really weird about. And I think it's because a lot of them are just unfamiliar with it. And I've noticed that conservatives treat this industry now the way that conservatives treated Hollywood and academia back in the 40s and 50s. They gave up on it. They didn't think that it was a worthwhile investment of their time. They didn't engage. One of the two biggest at the time, academics and movies and music, Hollywood, arts and entertainment, the biggest distribution methods of information. And conservatives just gave up on it. They didn't get involved. We all know this. We all talk about it. What did they do? They retreated to their think tanks and their associations, and they went in elected office, and that's all well and good. But everything political first is a cultural issue. Again, DEI and CRT is just an example. It began as a cultural touchstone in college in the 60s under Derrick Bell. And then it manifests throughout the decades to actual policy and law that we see today. Anyone who tells you otherwise is ignorant of culture, too ignorant to ever be taken seriously on any issue. It's dangerous to listen to dumb people. Politics is forever downstream from pop culture. So as I said, there's a particular industry that conservatives look at, and not just conservatives in the United States, but I think writ large, look at as though It's like Hollywood. It's like arts and entertainment and academia in the 40s and 50s. We shouldn't get, that's not us. We don't do this. We don't take part in it. We don't have anything to do with it. Some actually cast a wary eye on it. Some, the moment I mention it, they tune out. And you know what that industry is? It's the gaming industry. You would be shocked at how many libertarians and conservatives are in gaming. Shocked. And that's only if you are unfamiliar with the community. It is, yes, it's people sitting down and playing video games. And yes, I casually play. I'm not like a super serious gamer. I don't even use that to describe myself. There's only certain types of games that I play. And I enjoy them because it's escapist. It's away from politics. I always have to be doing something. I like to be engaged. I like to think, and I like stuff that requires the involvement of strategy, right? Requires strategy. And there's a lot of really, really great titles out there. And it's a place where everybody can go and get away from the noise of everything is racist or sexist or this or that or this or that, or it was anyway. And just like DEI and CRT came for your movies and your television shows and your stories and your songs and then your books and your degrees, and now it's even lowering the standards in medicine, and it's going after and lowering standards regarding science, and it's in our military, and it's everywhere else. Gaming has been the last frontier because, by and large, people look at gamers like they're weird, especially if they're adults. And that's not the case. And as Penn and Teller's brilliant episode of BS, the show that his name I can't say on air, they explored this a decade ago. It is absolutely mind-numbingly ridiculous to say that playing violent video games leads to violence. It is a gun control argument that some well-meaning but clueless conservatives have adopted to use to describe video games. Just know that you're literally using gun grabber formulation to now try to denigrate a perfectly acceptable recreational activity. And so by and large, they've ignored gaming and they thought it doesn't apply to us. It doesn't have anything to do with us. Well, it does, because a lot of your latest television shows are coming from gaming stories. A lot of your movies are coming from the video game realm. A lot of your stuff, a lot of music is coming from gaming now. It is the last frontier of non-PC, and it's under attack by DEI. We told you a few weeks ago about Sweet Baby Inc. They have these stupid consultancy firms, and these consultancy firms create themselves and they bestow upon themselves the authority of what you should be able to see in terms of what titles are published and which aren't. And you have to be DEI, you know, all of this stuff in order to be accepted. And if you're not, then they try to get a rage mob against you and shut you down and run you out of business and shame you. There have been people's lives who have been, there are people who have killed themselves over this. Entire companies have folded because of the rage mob. And it's running rampant in games because a lot of people don't know really how to handle it. They're unfamiliar with gaming. And they're doing it again. There's a story. It's a game called Stellar Blade. I don't play it. I mean, I like first-person shooter games and things like that. I want to be able to strategize on how to take down giant beasts. And I've not played this game, but it's a very popular game. So long story short, this game called Stellar Blade, some of the e-girls, I guess, are upset because they are mad about the female character Eve's outfit. And I find it incredibly ironic that chicks, and this is not all of them. I have, I know some really fantastic women who stream. They're on Twitch. They play games and they're engaging without having to show their boobs. They're engaging without having to act like whores. They're engaging and they play well. They actually play well. They're not like, oh, I'm a chick, I'm going to start a band and all I know is three power chords. Like, they actually can, you know, play. But there's a small number of girls, these e-girls, that think that Eve was dressed too skimpily. And they were complaining about this while wearing necklines that went down to their navels. And demanding that video game characters do not dress as they do when they're streaming, which I think is incredibly ironic. And it's, yes, it's absolutely a valid observation. And so they decided that the developers, they were being pressured to, like, you know, they were going to have an update. We're going to give you some clothes. There was, like, for instance, this holiday rabbit bunny suit, and they altered it, and they were basically covering her up a little bit. Oh, my gosh. And there were some players who were so tired of all of this fourth, fifth, 11th wave feminist nonsense and all of this other stupid stuff infecting games that they said, okay, you're censoring things now. We want a refund. And so they started refunding people. And then all of these chicks that were the original people that had a fit about a video game character's outfits are now going, can you believe that these people want refunds over this video game character's outfits? You see what I'm saying? And so now there have been some developers and some players that have stood up and said, we're tired of this, and they're pushing back, and they're like, you know, save Stellar Blade. I see there's a petition trying to get it to go back the way it was. And everyone's saying it's like Gamergate 2, which was the first, Gamergate 1 was the first blow up. Now it sounds like it's silly. You might think because you don't play video games, this is so dumb. Why are people upset over this? But it's not the outfit, and it's not the refund, and it's not any of that stuff. It is the fact that here you again have another instance of this stupid woke scold movement trying to go out and pressure game developers and these publishers into changing or altering things. They're going through it with Warhammer right now. And there's a all-male class of warriors that they're now trying to say, oh, well, there's females in it, too. They're revising their canon so that they can be more female-friendly. They're female-friendly already. They have an all-female warrior tribe already. You don't need to insert women in the male all-warrior tribe. You don't need to do that. The custodes, you don't need to do that. This is what I'm talking about. It has nothing to do with outfits. It has everything to do with hijacking and colonizing game spaces and turning them into absolute crap. That's what it is. They want everything to be like Borderlands, where you are awarded, after you beat the boss, the final boss, you're awarded by a rainbow color unicorn called Butt Stallion and a trans warrior. What? Yeah. They want to make everything like Borderlands. Which is so annoying, I almost want to vomit rainbows. I couldn't even, I was done, I deleted it, I was done. This is what I'm talking about. Yes, that was the Tiny Tina DLC, but you understand what I'm saying. So, you need to pay attention to this stuff. Because I guarantee you, your kids are, or your grandkids are. And this is what they like to do. And they're, the stuff that they like to do, and the places that they like to go to escape this nonsense is under attack. So where are you? Just because you're not involved in it doesn't mean you shouldn't speak up for what's right. You speak up when DEI is getting people fired at their workplaces. You speak up when you don't want to have to change your pronoun usage. This stuff is happening in gaming now. And it is the last frontier. Don't be like the conservatives back in the 40s and 50s with Hollywood and academia and turn your head and then bitch about it 20 years later when another slice of American life is taken over. Stop giving them pie slices. They're taking the whole damn dessert. Stop. There's a whole petition that you can go to. It's Save Stellar Blade. They have a petition where you can go and sign online as well. Got to pay attention to this stuff because I guarantee you your opposition is.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.